two regrets in life. Two regrets. The first is this. When I was a senior in high school, I had a 1966 Mustang. Beautiful car. Restored, mint condition. This is not a picture of that. There. That is not a picture of it. Mine was aqua. Gorgeous, okay? But as a senior in high school, I thought I was being wise. No senior's ever wise, okay? But I thought I was being wise to sell it and get a car with better gas mileage. Oh. I've regretted that every day since. Okay? And I should. Amen. We are free to go. Okay? Second regret in life. I only have two. Okay? On my 10th anniversary, that was 10 and a half years ago for Abby and I surprised her with a cruise out of San Diego. Okay? 3 days, 4 nights, something like that. I stayed in San Diego a few days beforehand, and it was fantastic. Great memories. Had a wonderful time. Wonderful time, but one memory particularly stands out, and it grieves my heart. It was night two of our cruise. We're walking around the deck, you know, the boat. It wasn't that boat. I didn't take that picture of that boat, okay? Same. But we were walking around, holding hands, enjoying, celebrating our anniversary, and wouldn't you know it, we came across this big open floor with people dancing. She's just laughing. Night two, okay? Let me tell you what. The conditions were perfect because it's evening. The lights are down real low. You can't see anybody. Unlike most junior high dances, there's actually people out there dancing. We don't know any of them. It's perfect. So she looks at me, I look at her, and she says to me, James, do you want to dance? I wavered. I hesitated. Ultimately, I cowered. And I grabbed her hand and we walked off. Did not dance. I missed the chance to yeah. And I should regret that one too. I have. Every single day since that night until now. Now, to be fair, not to make excuses, but I've never liked dancing. One of my biggest fears in life, I got snakes, I got, you know, I could list them off. One of my biggest fears is getting pushed into that circle that forms at the high school dance, that, you know, the little dance-off. I have nightmares about that. But still, I get, there's dances that happen, I get nervous, I get self-conscious. I have zero confidence that I know any sort of moves, and it shows. Now, I'm a pastor, right? So I do weddings also. And you know what often happens at weddings? Dances, if there's any place at all where somebody should dance, it should be at a joy-filled celebration at a wedding. I dread that part of the wedding. Abby knows the depth of this. Like, I lose sleep over it. Okay? I've gotten better. Not at dancing. But I've gotten a little bit braver. Every now and again, I will bust a move in front of my sons at home when nobody else is watching. Just because I don't want them to make the same mistake I made on night two of the cruise. I don't want them to miss the chance to dance. Today we continue. We're in week two of a 7-week sermon series that we're looking at seven Hebrew words for praise. At the end of last week's sermon, Scott Duco came up to me and says, look, James, at some point one of the words is going to mean to dance. Would you let me know when that is? So that I'm out of town that week? I'm sorry. It's today, and I wish I was out of town. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to close my eyes. If Scott is gone when I get back, I won't, when I say amen, I won't hold it against him. And if any of the rest of you try to leave, I've set up bouncers in the back who are going to make sure you don't make it far. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we get to be here this morning. Thank you that we get to open your word to us. Thank you that we get to hear your voice. Thank you that we get to sing to you, even though we may not corporately sing in other avenues. I thank you that we get to laugh together. I thank you that this is a joy-filled congregation. Lord, I'm grateful to be a part of this group of people who is trying to figure out what it means to praise God. I pray that you'd give us a new understanding of that this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and grab a Bible, turn with me to Psalm 150, and while you're turning, repeat after me, praise God. Praise God. Again, praise God. Praise God. That is the title of the sermon series that we are in. Now, the idea behind this sermon series stemmed from a book that I was introduced to at a Chris Tomlin concert called Holy Roar. Last week, we looked at the first word, the first Hebrew word that means to praise as is used in the Psalms. And it's in Psalm 67, verse 3 is the main thing we focused on. And that Psalm says this. It says, "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." And as you can see in the picture, the guy standing there holding up his arms. Praise in this verse means yada. It means to extend your hands. It means to lift up your hands. Now, for those who didn't have a chance this past week to do that, the majority of you did that when I said hello this morning. So you got that done. But I'm hoping you paid attention this past week to when you got excited and when you pumped your hands. And I'm also hoping that you took the risk of at some point praising God, whether in prayer and song and conversation, to actually raise your hands. And I hope that was a challenge for you. If you did that, you yada. You yada'd God. So praise God. Today we look at the next Hebrew word, and the word is halal. Halal. Is it up there? It is up there. Okay? Say that with me. Halal. One more time. Halal. Now, if your ear is in tune, you may recognize that is the beginning part of a word that we sang a bunch of this morning. Hallelujah. This is the beginning part of that. This hallelujah is actually a compound word, halal, which means to praise, and we're going to unpack that today. And then the last part is a shortened phrase of Yahweh. So when we say hallelujah, you're actually saying praise the Lord. You're saying praise God. And you did that as we did our call to worship in Psalms 146 to 150. Every one of those psalms started off with praise the Lord. And every one of them ended with, worship team, praise the Lord. That word in each one of those is halal. Now in Psalm 150, which hopefully by now you have found, the word halal is used 13 times. 13 times. We're going to read it together, and since we all have different translations, we're going to read it together from the screen. I want you, when the word says praise, say it with a little bit more oomph. Okay? So we're going to read it together. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, keep your fingers in Psalm 150. I'm going to come back to it. 13 times in that psalm, the word halal is used. Now, halal, the word we translate as praise, literally means to boast, to rave, to shine, to celebrate, or to be clamorously foolish. Okay? To boast, to rave, to celebrate, to sign, to shine, or to be clamorously foolish. Most scholars, most of the time, when they come across the word halal in the Psalms, they would translate it as having something to do with dancing. And rightfully so, because oftentimes it's paired with that phrase. Psalm 149, verse 3 says this, "Let them halal His name with dancing, making melody to Him with tambourine and," I never know how to pronounce that, is it lyre or lyre? And lyre. I just struggle with that, because you praise Him with lyres? Okay, we're going to say it again. Read it with me, because we can all read. Let them praise His name with dancing, making melody to Him with tambourine and lyre. So that's why a lot of commentators, a lot of people will talk about dancing. Yeah, y'all go ahead and laugh, but I know the first thing you thought of, when I said clamorously foolish, if you know the story of the Old Testament, you thought of who? King David. I was looking at pictures of King David. Most of them were cheesy, right? And then I came across this. Phenomenal. Okay? If you don't know the story, this is the story of when King David brought the ark back to Jerusalem. It had been at somebody else's house. And David found out that God had blessed that person and wanted to bring it back. So in 2 Samuel chapter 6, you can just listen to the story. It says this, beginning in verse 12. Then King David was told, "The Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's household and everything he has because of the ark." So David went there and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with a great celebration. After the men who were carrying the ark of the Lord had gone six steps, David sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. And verse 14 says, "And David danced before the Lord with all of his might, wearing a priestly garment." Somebody else said, "wearing his holy underwear." That's actually a pretty literal translation. So verse 15 says, "So David and all the people of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and blowing of the ram's horn. But as the ark of the Lord entered into the city of David, not everybody was happy. Michal, who was David's wife, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window. When she saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him." We're coming back to that. Okay, verse 17. "They brought the ark of the Lord, set it in its place in the special tent David had prepared for it, and David sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. When he had finished his sacrifices, David blessed the people in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies. Then he gave every Israelite man and woman in the crowd a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins. And then all the people returned home." Can you imagine what's going on right there? Okay? Joy is oozing out of David. He had danced the entire way home, dripping with sweat, laughter, praising God, giving blessings, making offerings, and then probably still winded, still sweaty, still probably out of breath, handing out snacks to the people of Israel, right? And this permagrin on his face. Go be blessed. Go be blessed. And he was so excited to go home and bless his own family, and it didn't turn out the way he expected. Verse 20 says this, "When David returned home to bless his own family, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. She said in disgust, 'How distinguished the king of Israel looked today, shamelessly exposing himself to the servant girls like any vulgar person might do.'" Now, at that point, David could have been deflated. But I love his response. Verse 21. David retorted to Michal, "I was dancing before the Lord, who chose me above your father and all his family. He appointed me as leader of Israel, the people of the Lord. So I celebrate," he said, "before the Lord. Yes, I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes." Catch that. Dancing, celebrating, clamorously foolish. What David was doing was hallaling. He was praising God in hallaling. Now, rewind the story of Scripture many, many years to the story of the Exodus. I think most of us know that story. Israelites were in bondage 400 years, cried out to God to send a deliverer. God sent Moses, 10 plagues that they walked across on dry ground in the Red Sea. It was fantastic. The Egyptians followed. They got swamped. It was phenomenal. First thing Moses does after crossing on dry ground is he sings a song. And he leads the rest of his people in a song. And then after that, his brother Aaron's sister, Miriam. Got it? His brother's sister, Aaron, Miriam, whatever it was, she starts to halal. Exodus chapter 15, verse 20. "Then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine and led all the women as they played their tambourines and danced." Miriam sang this song, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He has hurled both horse and rider into the sea." Friends, as I pictured Miriam leading the women in a dance with tambourines, it wasn't a junior high slow dance. Was it? No, she was hallaling, and I'm not going to do what she did. I've already told you I don't dance. Okay? She was hallaling. So we've rewound. Now fast forward to the story of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, in that time, the people have been taken captive again, right? It's like the same story told again. We looked at Jeremiah 29 a few weeks back, and Jeremiah told the people, God's got a plan for your life. It's wonderful, a plan for hope and a future. And then in chapter 31 of Jeremiah, he says, here's what this restoration of hope looks like. He says this, Jeremiah 31, verses 1 to 4. In that day, says the Lord, Jeremiah writing here, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they will be my people. This is what the Lord said. Those who survive the coming destruction will find blessings even in the barren land, for I will give rest to the people of Israel. Long ago, the Lord said to his people, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love, with an unfailing love. I have drawn you to myself. Here's verse 4. I will rebuild you, my virgin Israel. You will be happy again and dance. You will halal merrily with your tambourines. A few verses later, verse 11, 12, and 13, it says, the Lord has redeemed Israel from those too strong for them. They will come home and sing songs of joy on the heights of Jerusalem. They will be radiant because of the Lord's good gifts. The abundant crops of grain, new wine, olive oil, the healthy flocks and herds, their life will be like a well-watered garden, and all their sorrows will be gone. Verse 13, the young women will dance for joy, and the men, old and young, will join in the celebration. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and exchange their sorrow for rejoicing. Jeremiah says, the dancing will return. And of course, this was opposite of what he had said in the book that he wrote on lamenting. We know that verse, Lamentations chapter 5, verse 15. It says, joy has left our hearts, our dancing has turned to mourning. This was pre-Jeremiah saying, wait till the Lord brings it back. Your mourning will be turned to dancing. When the people praise, they will halal. And again, we're reminded of Psalm 149, verse 3. It says this, praise his name with dancing, accompanied by tambourine and harp. I'm going to tell you something that's not a secret. I get jealous of people who can dance. Like, I really do. I know we're not supposed to be jealous, but I do. Okay? There's a worship team at General Conference three and a half weeks ago, that was out of Southern California. This is a dark picture of it. It wasn't a great picture. But if you can look and see, not only could this group sing, oh, they could dance. Every single one of them on the stage was moving as if the joy of the Lord was flowing through them, from their shoulders to their elbows, to their wrists, to their hands, to their fingers, from their hips to their knees, to their ankles, to their feet, to their toes. They were moving like God was inhabiting them, and they were halaling, and I was jealous. You go back just a few years, you remember Carly Hoffman and her family. They would come in late sometimes, so that they would sit in the front row. And their daughter, Dakota, you guys remember her? Some of you do. Okay, beautiful little girl. There was a stretch of about 3 or 4 months where when they would come in, they'd sit in the front. When worship would start, Dakota would stand up, and she'd come out here, and she'd just twirl. And she'd move. That's not her, okay? But she looks like what she was doing. I would stand right here watching her right there thinking, I wish I had the courage to do that. She was halaling God. She didn't miss the chance to dance. So here's a question. Does halal always have to be dancing? I mean, I wrestle with that. Does there always have to be music and a beat? Well, if you remember back to the definition, you know that there's more to it. You know, there's celebrating, there's raving, there's shining. There's boasting. If you're filling out the bulletin, you're going to get some blanks here pretty quick. Okay? In the book Holy Roar, the author spent a few pages talking about how the party that the prodigal son's dad threw. There's your blank, the prodigal son. The party that the prodigal son's dad threw was a giant halal. It was a giant celebration. I can get behind a party. Okay? Acts chapter 3. When Peter healed the crippled beggar, there's another one of your blanks. When Peter healed the crippled beggar, halal happened. with no guitar and no drums. Crazy. Listen to what happened. Acts chapter 3. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand, helped him up, and as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and hallowing God, praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. Okay? You stand, you walk, you leap. I've never been to one, but I hear that's what like a European rave looks like. There was no music. I don't even know if he was dancing. He was leaping. I can get behind that. You look at Jeremiah, again, I keep coming back to him. In the early chapters that he's writing, chapter 9, he's talking about boasting. This can also be translated as the word we use, praise. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. This is what the Lord says. Don't let the wise boast, and that is a word that means halal. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches. But those who wish to halal should halal in this. Those who wish to boast should boast in this, that they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord who demonstrates unfailing love and who brings justice and righteousness to the earth, and that I delight in these things. I, the Lord, have spoken. Jeremiah's boast. So does halal always mean dancing? Not necessarily. It can mean celebrating. It can mean raving. It can mean shining. It can mean boasting. So here's another question for you. Does halal always happen when we're happy? When it's, you know, when it's pink flowers and unicorns? Or are there times when we can halal when there's deep sadness and pain? Like people in El Paso are feeling. People in, you know, the other cities, Ohio, are feeling. In the garlic festival in California earlier this week. Can there be halal in the deep sadness and deep pain? You know, King Solomon, David's son, wrote in the beginning of Ecclesiastes, we know this, there's a time for everything, a season for everything. So your blank is a season of pain. There's a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to laugh, a time to cry. There's a time to grieve, and verse 4 says there's a time to dance. So there's seasons where we can halal, where it's not happy clappy. We actually see this in the Psalms quite a few different times. In Psalm 69, David was writing, and get a feel for his mental space right here. He says, "Save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold. I am in deep water, and the floods overwhelm me." He's not in a good place right now, okay? So you fast forward 28 verses to verse 29. David said, "I am suffering and in pain. Rescue me, O God, by your saving power. Then I will praise God's name. I will halal God's name with singing, and I will honor him with thanksgiving." David would have had the energy to dance, but he could still halal. Similar idea, similar author, King David, Psalm 109. Verses 22 to 25, he says, "For I am poor and needy, and my heart is full of pain. I'm fading like a shadow at dusk. I'm brushed off like a locust. My knees are weak from fasting, and I am skin and bones. I am a joke to people everywhere. When they see me, they shake their heads in scorn." Again, you sense where he's at emotionally? But just a few verses later, he says, "But I will give repeated thanks to the Lord, halaling him to everyone." In the midst of the hardship, he's saying, "I will still halal the Lord." Now, perhaps the psalm that we know the best, but may surprise us the most when this word halal comes up again, is out of Psalm 22. You'll recognize it because it's what Jesus cried out to the Father when he was on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Right? That's the beginning of Psalm 22. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help?" Listen, when Jesus said this, he was hanging on the cross. He was at one of the lowest points, if not the lowest point of his life, feeling abandoned by the Father, hanging there, tortured, beaten, What we need to know and realize is that when Jesus said just that part of this psalm, when he started off with, my God, why have you forsaken me? Every Jew there would have known the rest of it. Every Jew there would have known the rest of that psalm. They would have known that in verse 17, they might not have had it labeled as verse 17, but they would have known that the psalm continued. I can count all my bones. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments among themselves and throw dice for my clothing. Oh, Lord, do not stay far away from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to my aid. I mean, can't you see Jesus thinking through this? Maybe he didn't have the strength to say it, but he's thinking through it, and every Jew there is thinking the same thing. Save me from the sword. Spare my precious life from these dogs. Snatch me from the lion's jaws and from the horns of these wild oxen. Then in that verse, in that psalm, which they would have known, it says, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will halal you among your assembled people. In the midst of the hardest time that Jesus is going through, he is alluding to the fact that he's still going to halal the Father. So perhaps halal is not just dancing, which is good because it gives me hope. It gives me hope. I guarantee you I will never win the reality TV show So You Think You Can Dance. Ever. I won't even apply. Okay? But I have a feeling, having learned more of what halal can be, that I can still halal God. That I can still dance. But it's going to be different. My dance may not be the Macarena or the Foxtrot. I can't even do that right there. My dance may be with words or with running. My dance may be silence and loss or celebration of success. Whatever I do, all of whatever I can do will be praise to God, will be halal to God. If I'm doing it with my whole life, the completeness of my whole life. C.S. Lewis once wrote, he said, the most valuable thing the Psalms do for me is to express the same delight in God that made David dance. And I would say that delight is where our whole life of praise comes from. Now, I get this from Psalm 50. I told you, keep your finger in there, then I come back to it. I'm coming back to it. Okay? I get this idea that our whole life can be a halal to God from this psalm. We're going to fly through it. Psalm 150, verse 1 says this, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens. The first verse says, this is where we're going to praise God. It's where we're going to praise God, which is in his sanctuary, so we could say that's church, okay, but also wherever, in, under, and around his holy heavens. So that's where. So where do we halal? Pretty much everywhere, okay? Second verse, not just where, but who, or excuse me, why? Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Mighty deeds, excellent greatness. Other translations say his mighty works, his unequaled greatness. So far, so good. We've got where do we praise him? We've got why do we praise him? Now we get to how. The next three verses, and this is where I get the idea of our whole life. So listen for it in here. Verse 3 through 5. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Did you see it in there? Did you see in those three verses how we're supposed to praise God? I didn't see it the first several times I read it either. So here's what it is. In those three verses, you get an entire symphony. You get an entire orchestra. For those musically minded, JJ, you play the violin. An entire orchestra. In verse 3, you have the horns and the brass. In verse 3 and 4, you get the strings. In verse 4, you get the woodwinds. In verse 4 and 5, you get the percussion. See, this is an entire orchestra. And the psalmist is saying, with all of this, you can praise the Lord. So what I'm taking from that is, with your entire life, you can praise the Lord. Yes, verse 4 also says dancing, so throw that in there. That's fine. But with all of you, you can praise the Lord. Whatever gives you joy, whatever makes you tick, whatever brings smiles or tears, all of your life can be halal. It's crazy that that could be the case. So we've seen who we praise. We've seen why we praise. We've seen how we praise. How about with whom? That's verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now, you know, because I've said it already, I can't dance, but I can join in the praise that's going on all around me. I got to take Sam on our annual men venture this past weekend. We canoed lower priest to upper priest, and you know what I participated in? Halal. Sam didn't even know it. Okay? Participated in halal. Psalm 96, verse 10, or 11, 12, and 13. Let the heavens be glad and rejoice. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest rustle with praise before the Lord. Psalm 98, let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the earth and all living things join in. Let rivers clap their hands in glee. Let the hills sing out their songs of joy before the Lord. Just because I don't dance doesn't mean I can't halal. And I'd say the same for you guys. We can dance with what's going on around us. So I would encourage you, don't miss the chance to dance. Don't miss the chance to let the whole symphony of your life be halal from and to God. Don't miss the chance to boast, to rave, to shine, to celebrate, and maybe every once in a while to be a little clamorously foolish. Amen? Amen. Okay, so where do we go from here? What do we do next? There's a few of you that are like, last week Pastor James had us raise our hands when we were singing. That was Yada. Please, Pastor James, don't make us come to the front and dance. I could ask the worship team to come forward, and we got space up here for a mosh pit, and we could dance. I'm not going to do that. I don't dance. Okay? But I would encourage you this week, look for opportunities to halal the Lord. Whatever that may be, however that may be. For me, it might be after a run, just a quick little one of these, because I can run even with all these blood clot issues going on. For you, it might be something like keeping a smile on your face when the boss is berating you because you know you serve a greater Lord and you're going to shine because of that. For you, it may be maybe calling somebody and saying, I want to celebrate the way God has provided. I'm going to come to you in just a second, okay, Miss Marlene? Okay, so it may be any one of those. It could also be that you want to dance, and that's fine. If you want to dance, so be it. If you want to dance like David in your holy underwear, don't do it outside. You'll get arrested. Okay? But that's okay if you want to do that. Miss Marlene? The Jews do dance in their church, yes. Mm-hmm. Miss Marlene's got weak legs, but it's hard for her to get out and dance. But I bet you can dance right in here, huh? Because you'd be joining in their halal. Yeah. Hard to dance with weak legs, but you can dance in your heart, right? Perfect. You make sure you dance in your heart, and if you've ever watched Miss Marlene worship, you see that she is halaling while she worships. It's beautiful. She is praising God. You do have victory over your legs. Jesus is going to bring that victory. Thank you, Miss Marlene. Listen, 19 years ago, Leanne Womack sang a song. If you're familiar with country music, you probably know it already. Okay, but for those that aren't, it became an instant hit and an instant classic. Listen to the first verse and the chorus. She says, I hope you never lose your sense of wonder. You get to eat your fill, but always keep that hunger. May you never take one single breath for granted. God forbid love ever leave you empty-handed. I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance, and when you get a choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance. I hope you dance. Dancing isn't only on night two of the cruise. I'm sorry. We can spend our whole lives halaling the Lord. This week, let the whole symphony of your life be a halal. And when you realize you're doing that, call somebody, text somebody, invite them into the dance of your life. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you this week that I personally don't have to connect as deeply with each of these words that we translate as praise. And yet I thank you that this week, as I've studied this, as I've thought about it, as I've prayed over this, you have brought a dance to my life. I thank you that even like Miss Marlene with weak legs who can't dance, that we are still able to dance in our heart, with our face, with our minds, with the joy that you have given us. And I pray, Lord, that as we praise you, as we yada you, and as we halal you, as we learn what that means, I pray that we would do so with every ounce of our being. God, I may not be able to move like the worship team from Southern California, but I want to be able to give my whole heart and my whole soul and my whole body and my whole mind to you. Help us as a church do that this week. And we look forward to seeing how you answer that prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to move here in just a moment into our time of offering and praise and prayer. And so I just want to just remind you and encourage you again, remember that there are so many different ways that we can express ourselves in praise to God. And as you're going through your day, be aware of that. Keep that in your mind. Where are you going to boast about God? Where are you going to rave over who God is and what he has done in your life? Where are you going to shine in a way that the people around you can see the difference? How are you going to celebrate the milestones and the things that the Lord has done in your life through the years? How are you going to be clamorously foolish in praise of the Lord? Just think about it. Be aware as you go through every moment. We're going to pray for our offering. We're going to have the ushers come forward.